Welcome to episode 323 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in our continuing series on robots, automation, space, and space travel. If you'd like to find the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. Thanks for the extra little giggle.
Are we keeping that one?
No. Well, there were like eight other takes, so I think we're going to run with that one.
Sounds good.
Let's go to space.
We're there.
Well, yes, but, technically speaking, all right? Space is space, but I mean, like, in orbit.
Remember, I can't sing. I'm sorry. Especially not the Beatles.
We haven't been to space in a while.
Right.
But we're going to go there and be a satellite.
That's what we're doing. Okay.
You can blame Newton first.
Really?
Because he started with a thought experiment with his Newton's cannon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you fire a charge, you got to point it in that direction.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you fire it often, or big enough, it should go all the way around the world and hit you in the head.
It's a satellite. That's an orbit.
But then came along some notions that maybe we should use some of these things.
Yeah.
Arthur C. Clarke, in an article he published in 1945, described extraterrestrial relays.
Interesting.
For radio communication, and he is credited sometimes with the invention of the communication satellite, on the strength of having penned that article.
Oh, right. I got the patent. Whatever, something like that. Huh.
But people thought that was a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in 1951, they started doing some experiments, and by 1956, they decided to use a satellite to bounce radio signals off of it.
Yeah.
But they didn't bother to launch one.
I don't get it. They build it on the ground?
No, they used the moon.
Oh, okay.
There's a satellite.
Yeah. I forgot we had a pre-made one.
Yeah. In 1956, they had a conversation between Hawaii and Washington, D.C.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Well, go communications.
Yeah. Doesn't it seem like cheating? Don't you think that you should launch something?
Cheating? I don't know how to begin to do that.
By the way, as of January 2021,
mm-hmm.
2,224 communications satellites.
Jeez. Active or?
Yes.
I hear there's a lot of junk up there.
In orbit.
Oh, goodness.
I suppose we should mention 1957 Sputnik 1 got up there.
Okay.
It was actually broadcasting some radio signals, but not to be a communications platform. They were just studying the ionosphere and atmospheric effect on radio signals and the movement of the thing.
Yeah, the Russians.
Yeah.
They beat us to it. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Again.
It's a long and proud tradition. Dang it!
ARPA... who later turned into NASA along with another number of other letters that mushed together.
Okay.
In 1958, they did Project SCORE.
Okay.
They put it in orbit. They used a tape recorder to store and send messages.
Okay.
So it was low Earth orbit, so it took a while to cover the whole globe, but they still had then President Dwight D. Eisenhower wish everyone in the world a Merry Christmas.
Oh, it's Santa.
It did a few real time transmissions as well.
Oh, neat.
And lasted for 15 days from the 18th to the 30th. What is that? 12 days, okay. 8 hours of battery life it had before.
All right, yeah.
In August 1960, NASA launched Echo 1.
Okay.
Now, this is the dumbest satellite you can imagine. It's a balloon satellite.
Okay.
You get it into orbit, you fill it up with gas. Its whole mission in life was to be big, round, and shiny.
Like a beacon over here.
Yeah, they were bouncing radio transmissions off of it.
Okay.
And they were also studying the way it orbited. There was no station keeping with this thing. It was just up there as long as it was. Telstar.
They are?
1962, the first privately funded space launch.
Okay.
For doing transatlantic television.
Really? Okay, yep. Cool. So the BBC finally invades.
Finally invades space. In July 1963, we get Singham 2.
Okay.
Let's talk about orbits for a moment here.
Okay, let's do that.
There's a geostationary orbit.
Right.
Where your satellite is orbiting the Earth, and it takes 24 hours to finish the orbit.
Mm-hmm.
The circle it's doing is much bigger than the Earth it does, so it's actually going fast enough to stay just floating there.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently just hanging.
In air.
Well, not in air, more specifically.
All right. Okay.
The first one was a geosynchronous orbit.
Okay.
That means it's still a 24-hour period, but it will pass over the same parts of the global map at the same time every day.
Oh, okay.
So this thing kind of wandered north and south. It took some specialized equipment to talk to it,
mm-hmm.
just because it was moving on you.
Yeah, right.
Very next year, Syncom 3 was geostationary.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So from the ground, it looks like it just sits there.
Right. Those are important.
Well, then there were a bunch of international agreements open up this communication to private enterprise instead of various government experiments and whatnot for defense reasons. Intelsat came out of that. Intelsat 1,
mm-hmm.
also known as Early Bird. 1965, first commercially active geosynchronous satellite.
Cool.
Now, there was a confusing intro. Because this is sort of a continuation of two different threads.
Right.
Which we explain, well, at least talked about, on Monday. Robots in space.
In space.
In space. 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 Cool. If I had a button to make me echo, I'd use it. I'm a total geek.
I'm sure there's an after effect, but I mean.
Yeah. It's not the same, though.
Is this it? ISS sort of stuff, or like? Instead of humans, we tried robots first?
It's funny you should mention that, because I want to ask you, is this still the robots and automation thing?
Isn't it?
Well, we did that.
Yeah.
From episode 311 to 322.
Which you can find by visiting
thelabbitbrad.com. That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't going to say that. And we did that because we'd been doing space.
Right. Oh.
And that was episode 288 to 310.
Right.
And the whole time, there's all this automated probe and robot stuff going on in the space program.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm like, we're going to have to circle back and give this some real attention.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, we're continuing the robots.
Yes.
And in a way, we're going back to space.
Okay, so we're overlapping. This is great, you know? It's like cooking two things at the same time.
Yeah, so I just want to mention, as a side note, we also did a big long thing on computers.
Yes.
And computing and the history thereof. 270 to 286.
Okay.
All those episodes are available at thelabwithbrad.com. They're far too long ago for most podcast players. To help you with that.
Gotcha. Well, okay, so we've got computers. That's done. Robots are we're marching on forward to be done. Overlapping space. I mean, I don't see a problem.
How do I announce it?
Going to be both?
How do I announce it on Wednesday? This is one in our continuing series of continuing series.
Yes! I like it.
We probably got enough for a Monday track, so I might just edit this out entirely.
Okay.
Depending upon things.
Right.
But I'm thinking about resurrecting the Dorg.
Oh, okay. Welcome back. Because
they've been lying around doing nothing.
Those lazy sons of...
Dorg being short for digital organisms is one of many experiments I've done with evolutionary programming or artificial life or any of those names.
Yeah.
I got like the Project Ada thing where I'm trying to build a mind and so forth. But I'm looking at this mountain and it's weeks to months to years, perhaps, before I can even really get started.
Right.
It'd be nice to have something to do in the meantime.
Something, I mean, when I want to procrastinate, I really have to have a go-to.
Okay. Let's talk about the largest artificial satellite.
Okay.
The ISS.
Oh, that's right. You don't think of it as a satellite.
Right, because there's people on it.
Right? It's a space station. But
and
yeah.
So many satellites are automatic. Mm-hmm. Or there's some of what they call telerobotics or teleautomation.
Okay.
Where there's more or less control happening from someone who isn't there.
Right.
And we're going to talk about that on the ISS, like the Canadarm. Canadarm. Canadarm 2. It's at Canadarm.
Okay.
It was provided to the International Space Station by Canada.
Oh, okay.
So it's Canadarm.
I gotcha. Now
two. It's important. It's number two. Hmm. The first one was on the space shuttle.
Oh, okay.
Our space shuttle. I didn't know Canada provided that, but thanks, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right, the one they put on the ISS is bigger. Mm-hmm. At full extension, it is 58 feet long.
Nice.
Canada also gave us the special purpose dexterous manipulator.
Ugh, okay.
Or Dexter.
Nice. Okay.
It's 12 feet high.
Okay.
Across its shoulders, it's got two arms.
Oh, okay.
It's like 7 feet.
Okay.
A little over 11 feet fully extended for each arm.
Oh, okay.
Each of his arm have 7 joints.
Okay.
Every single joint can move up and down, back and forth, and rotate.
Cool.
It's actually considerably more agile than a human arm.
Well, why bother being limited to an elbow that only, a 90-degree
thing? Exactly.
Yeah.
Each hand has a retractable motorized wrench, a camera and lights for close-up viewing.
Cool.
And a retractable connector for power and data and video and whatnot.
Gotcha.
And it's also got, grabby bits. Grabby bits?
Grabby. All
right. It can hold on to things.
Yes.
It's pretty dexterous, too. It's actually done things like pull off little plastic caps and move wires around.
Oh.
It's teleoperated from the ground, actually. They originally planned for the astronauts to do it.
Yeah, But then they decided
we can do it from the ground. Let's do that instead of them.
Let them take a nap?
Something like that. They got science to do. They're astronauts.
Right.
Think about the S, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's in low Earth orbit.
Mm-hmm.
Its orbit is decaying.
Oh, that's right.
Right. So every now and then you got to go up there with some spacecraft and push it up.
Right.
That happens to most other satellites.
Mm-hmm.
This is why they have station keeping engines.
Okay.
But sometimes you run out of gas.
Yeah.
Which happened to the Intelsat 902.
Okay.
So they sent the MEV-1.
Right.
Mission extension vehicle.
Okay.
This little thing, also controlled mostly from the ground, gets up into orbit, gets out of whatever vehicle delivered it. Actually, it was a Proton rocket from the Russians.
Okay.
Anyway, it gets launched in October of 2019 and deploys its electrical propulsion system.
Cool.
So it got where it was going in February of 2020.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay. It took a minute.
Months, for about 5 months.
Launch.
Right, so it gets to this satellite and gloms onto it.
Okay.
Which is the first commercial satellite docking in history.
Cool.
And the only time anybody's ever gone to anything in geostationary orbit a second time.
Nice.
So it gloms onto it, and then it uses its engines, the MEV-1 engines, to put it back in its place.
Over here.
And according to their contract, they're going to just stay attached to it and do that for the next 5 years.
Oh.
And then probably move on to some other satellite that needs help. It's got about a 15-year projected operational lifespan.
Nice. Who writes that contract?
I don't know. So this is all very interesting.
Yes.
All here close to home. You got all of that teleoperations thing when the speed of light delay is only maybe half a second.
Nice.
But what about the rest of the solar system?
It's big.
We're going to talk about that.
Oh, we are.
Next time. See you then.
Bye.